Welcome to Knowles Abroad, a podcast by Florida State University International Programs. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Zoe. And we're your hosts. On this podcast, we'll talk about study abroad from the perspective of the students, faculty, staff, and alumni who make it an experience worth sharing. We'll also bring you travel tips and fun facts from around the globe. For today's episode, we spoke with Frank Nero, director of the FSU Florence Study Center. In this episode, we'll hear about what the FSU Flying High Circus has to do with our study abroad program in Italy, and why the first group of FSU Florence students were nicknamed the Mud Angels. Let's jump into our conversation with Frank. All right, so thanks for being with us today. We're super excited to have you on. And we just wanted to start out by asking you a little bit about FSU Florence. So can you tell us about your role at FSU Florence and what led you there?
Sure. What led me to FSU Florence is actually that I'm an FSU alum. And I happened to do the program as a senior when I was an undergraduate back in 1994. And that's what started this long journey. I'd taken a humanities class that introduced me to sort of the Iliad and the Odyssey and ancient Italian culture. And that professor took a liking to me. And he first planted the seed in my brain that maybe one day before I graduate, I should take advantage of what FSU had in Italy. So that was sort of how I got here. And one of the cool things is that many, many, many years later, I was lucky enough to get a chance to lecture alongside this professor that I had as a sophomore at FSU. And together we led a group and sort of team taught at the Colosseum in Rome, the Roman Forum, the Pantheon. So it was sort of like a mini highlight of my journey with FSU Florence. So that was how I sort of ended up here. Then in 2005, I was lucky enough to be appointed as a faculty member because I have dual Italian and American citizenship. And then when the former director retired in 2016, for some reason, which I still don't know why till today, I was appointed to the director. And it's been quite a ride and quite a joyful one, and one that stimulates me both intellectually and on a very basic level as well. What my role is as a director, I won't bore you guys with all the nitpicky admin things, but I feel what my main duty is, my main role, or even sort of like a charge, is that I sort of consider myself to be like the coach in chief, to try to replicate the experience that I had as a student way back in 1994, to put and how it changed my life so much, and to try to put all the pieces in place and all the bricks in place, both for faculty and students, so that their experience here could be not only that replication of what I experienced, but even on a much more enhanced basis. So that then, as long as the pieces are in place, then each individual can sort of take that individual journey and take advantage of all the things that FSU Florence offers. So that's what I see my main role as director of the program being.
Awesome. Thanks, Frank. Next up, could you give us a brief history of FSU Florence?
Absolutely. Well, the FSU Florence program actually was born out of FSU's Flying High Circus all the way back in 1964. The circus was on a tour of Europe, an international tour, and tagging along was Dean Oglesby. And you guys recognize that name because it's what the student union. That's the person whom the student union is named after. And while Dr. Oglesby was with the circus, one of their stops was Florence and sort of looking over the cityscape and the landscape. So the story goes, the idea entered into his head that this would be a wonderful place for FSU students to come to get a liberal arts basis for their studies. And 2 years later, it got off the ground in 1966. At that time, it was a year-long program. And 120 students made the first journey from Tallahassee to Florence. And that year, which was our first year, also was sort of one of the reasons why we've been around in Florence for so long. In 1966, only about a couple months into that fall semester, Florence actually experienced one of the great tragedies in its history when the Arno River overflowed its banks and basically a 10-foot wall of water came rushing into the city, sort of inundated the museums and the churches and the libraries and archives, which, you know, the libraries and archives especially housed manuscripts going all the way back to like the 400s, 500s, 600s AD. Precious works of art in these museums and churches and other places in the city going all the way back to the ancient Romans. And there was no running water in the city. There was no hygienic facilities. Food was hard to come by. And instead of sort of packing up the program and sending everybody home, our first faculty and staff and students decided to remain and help with the cleanup efforts, literally do triage on the works of art that were damaged by the flood and the mud left behind. And as the legend goes, that when the local Florentines would see our students sort of covered with mud after a long day's work in the museums and libraries, trying to get clean by brushing their teeth with wine and Coca-Cola, taking baths in the little lake that's here, they got the nickname by the locals, Gli Angeli del Fango, which in English means the mud angels. And basically that's what launched FSU as a not just an educational program for Seminoles, but also having an important role in the community. And it's a role that we take pride in today. It's a tradition we still take pride in today as our students volunteer in many ways in the community, whether they're senior citizen homes or women's shelters or donating funds or doing pro bono media campaigns to help restore old works of art. What the Mud Angels in 1966 left behind for us still resonates with our students today. So a little short history.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. That I didn't know that it was started through the circus. So that's really cool, actually, to know. Okay, so you already touched on this a little bit, but can you just tell us a little bit more about the relationship between FSU and the Florence community and the surrounding area?
Well, I think sort of as a metaphor for that is our study center itself, especially the new one. And why I say that is because sort of our study center, therefore our students, are literally embedded into the medieval fabric, the medieval core of the city in a pedestrian-only area where the network of alleys evolve into sort of the stone facade of palaces, the white marble facades of churches, open squares called piazza with famous works of art. And this isn't Disney World, right? Where they're all replicas. They're the originals from the 14 and 1500s. For instance, Benvenuto Cellini's Perseus and Medusa. Right there in a sort of open art museum. Not to mention the cafes and the food stands of fruit and vegetables and the chocolate makers and all the artisans and everything that you can imagine, the boutiques. So our study center, therefore, is right in the heart of all of that. And there's no interface. The only interface is the front door. So you don't have to take a bus. You don't have to take a train. You just open your front door and the whole world of Florence is at your fingertips. And how I view sort of our new study center, especially, I view it as a sort of microcosm of the macrocosm of the city of Florence. And what I mean is that sort of the city's open spaces and its arcades and its cafes are its intellectual spaces are in a way replicated inside of our study center with the study center's classrooms, its own little interior colonnades, its library, its courtyard, even works of art that will be in the new building will sort of suggest the ones outside of the front door. So as that microcosm within the macrocosm, it sort of extends our students and what they learn in the classroom out into the city. And students could bring what they learn in the city through hands-on experience, use it to their advantage while they're in the classroom and in the spaces of the study center. That's how I view it.
What would you say is the most unique thing about studying abroad in Florence?
I thought about this a lot, and for me, it's this, and maybe I'm getting a little too nerdy here, but what makes sort of the FSU Florence student experience so unique here is that sort of the student enters into this slipstream of history down sort of these viaducts into what seemingly is a mystical world, but at the same time, sort of one that's very real. Where a world that maybe has been unseen by the student in the past or unread by the student, but that the student always knew existed in the recesses of their soul. So when you get here to Florence, you sort of experience this sensorial world of beautiful things. And you're learning about them in the classroom at the same time. So things as small as like a little cup of espresso coffee, or as monumental as Michelangelo's David, or as colossal as the Colosseum. All of the tastes, sounds, aromas, views, touches associated with all these things sort of awakens the subconscious of youth. And it opens up the mysteries of the past and the currents of the present and the possibilities of the future. And these possibilities can be made more whole, more open, more caring, more conscious of life and seizing the day. And that's what I think that makes the sort of experience on almost like a metaphysical level so unique to studying Florence. And there's a beautiful trick sort of associated with all this, because you really don't realize that a change is happening to you, a sort of metamorphosis. The feeling is like while you're studying here and while you're experiencing all of these things, like all the things that you cannot really hold in your hand for a little brief moment, it's like you can. It's like you can hold your hand the bridge of the Ponte Vecchio, the historical bridge, or you can hold in your hand sort of golden mosaics or great works of fresco. You can hold in your hand sort of the hills that surround the city. I know I'm using a little poetic license here, but that's sort of like the feeling is inside of yourself. And you don't know that that's happening to you, but when you go home, that's when you begin realizing it, that the experience sort of becomes like a feast, a banquet of the mind and soul. And wherever you go for the rest of your life, whatever you do, whatever you become, decades and decades from now, you take that experience with you for the rest of your life. And that's so important, I believe, sort of such a foundational idea for the education of a university student, especially a fellow Seminole.
Wow, thank you so much. That makes me want to just go to Florence today as soon as possible.
Come on over. Not soon.
Well, yeah, soon.
Good.
But thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Our last question is just a fun question that we're asking all of our directors about their locations, but what is your favorite traditional Italian food?
I can't believe you guys are asking me this question. So hard to say, but my mouth is watering thinking about one of the most famous traditional foods associated with Florence is the Florentine T-bone steak. It's called La Fiorentina. Just, you can go anywhere in Europe, and if somebody says La Fiorentina, instantly they know you're talking about the Florentine steak. It's the T-bone cut, and it comes from a special sort of beef that's only raised here in Tuscany. That's called the Chianina beef. And it's sort of really, really thick and juicy and scrumptious. And they just dress it with a little like sea salt, with a little maybe touch of olive oil, sometimes a little rosemary. And they cook it on a grill, but they don't lay sort of like the steak flat and then turn it over to the other side. They actually put the steak on the grill vertically. And the heat sort of soaks into the meat, into all of the juices, sort of soaking in the little bit of salt too. And then when you sort of cut into it, it's just a very sort of earthy, authentic experience, and a good way to get your protein and sort of act like a local, because it's sort of, you don't eat it every day, but it's sort of something you eat when there's a special celebration or after an accomplishment or something like that. So the Bistecca Fiorentina it's got to rank right up there with one of my favorite things to eat in Florence.
That sounds amazing.
Not for veggies. A lot of vegetarian options that when you come abroad, I'll tell you about.
I'll definitely need some of those recommendations.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for just talking with us today and telling us a little bit about FSU Florence. It's been our pleasure, so thank you.
Thank you, guys. See you soon.
Thank you so much, Frank. Before we disembark, we want to dive into the history of the only bridge in Florence to survive World War II, the Ponte Vecchio. Today, this historic and iconic bridge is lined with jewelry shops and goldsmiths, but the shops used to be occupied by butchers, tanners, and farmers. The bridge was first constructed in the 10th century, but after a few floods, the bridge we know today was rebuilt in 1345.
In the flood of the Arno River in 1966 that Frank mentioned, the bridge was damaged again. However, today, students from IP, as well as locals and tourists from around the world, enjoy its views and history every day.
Thanks for listening. If you have any questions or suggestions on what we should talk about next, email us at ip-media@fsu.edu. Here's a sneak peek from our next episode with Dr. Kathleen Paul, Director of FSU London.
By navigating across and into the culture of London, students become Londoners. They become members of that city community. And that's something that they'll never lose. Whether 1 year or 20 years pass, when they come back to London, they're coming back to their city.
Thanks again to our guest today, Frank Nero, and to you, our listeners. This podcast is a production of FSU International Programs. The music for this podcast was composed by John Bartman. Our logo was designed by Vanessa Giray. Editing, transcription, and research is done by us, Zoe Crook and Hannah Meister.